You are listening to the Qalam podcast series on the purification of the heart by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, as explained by myself, Mikhail Ahmed Smith. This short book movingly details the subtleties of inner purification through discussions on the ego, the nature of the body, the degrees of prayer, fasting, and charity, and the inner realities of the self. Islamic thought on purification of the heart is an ocean of knowledge. In our age of hyperconnectivity and information overload, I attempt to show how Islamic spirituality holds a place of primacy for social reform and rectification of our own actions. The goal is to learn how to connect ourselves to our Creator and how to recognize those things in our lives which are taking us off track. For more classes with myself and other instructors, check out Qalam Connect, Qalam Institute's newest program for online Islamic education and dialogue. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbak ya rabbil alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a deeper understanding of our deen, our religion. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts for knowledge and make it beneficial for us. Whatever we're listening to, we ask Allah to make it something that we can put into amal and put into action right away. Yeah, Sister Yasmin, can you just take her to her?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm so sorry. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to implement what we're going to be talking about. This evening, inshallah, as we continue this class, which is talking about the purification of the heart, what we want to talk about today, what I would like to discuss today, is a specific disease of the heart, which is considered one of the ummul amarad, one of the core or base diseases of the heart, which from it, other diseases of the heart stem from it. And it's considered one of the first diseases or sins of the heart that is ever spoken about in the Quran specifically, and it's spoken about many times in the Quran at different places, and we'll talk about that. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah and others, they say that it is the root of other diseases, and we're talking about specifically jealousy, which I would call the hater's disease. It's basically, tonight's class is just about haters, basically. Why people are haters? Why do they hate on other people? Where does that come from? And what are the effects of that? So actually Imam Ghazali says that one of the roots of hasad is another disease which is called tama. Tama is greed or covetousness, to want more, to want to have more things. So this person that sees someone with something, the thing that happens inside is that they see, they feel threatened, as if they're missing out something, as if this person having this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to diminish them in some way, or take away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give them. As we said before, this is the sin of Iblis. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa, Iblis felt threatened at that moment because he has a position. He has a position in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now now there's someone being introduced to the scene that can potentially threaten him and take away his position. The Prophet ﷺ in a hadith, he said, "Istaghinu ala hawaijikum bil kitman, fa inna kulli dhi ni'matin mahsuda." It's a beautiful hadith. The Rasul ﷺ said that seek help on the things that you want to accomplish in life through silence and secrecy. Why? Because every ni'mah, mahsuda, every single ni'mah is envied by people. Now this hadith for me is a really important hadith to start tonight's discussion, because it actually highlights one of the ways which we should protect ourselves from the hasad, or jealousy, hasad of the hasidin. Now before we talk about this, think about this. This dua, if we think of Surah Falaq, this is actually something we seek refuge from many times a day. The Prophet ﷺ recommended that we read Surah Falaq 3 times in the morning, 3 times in the evening. Now one of the main things in Surah Falaq is what? من شر حاسد إذا حسد. That oh Allah protect us from the evil of the jealous person when they have jealousy. So the reason I wanted to bring that in is because it's actually something we make dua to protect ourselves from many times in a day. It shows the importance of that specific thing. So the Prophet in one hadith, he said, where did this disease come from? This disease of jealousy or hatred, where did it come from? In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Dabba ilaykum da'ul umam." That to our ummah, he said, there are two sicknesses that have crept into you from the previous nations. Meaning simply, that this isn't just something that happens to us as Muslims, but this is something that came through many generations before us. But he used the word dabba, like, it crept into your nation. It crept into your affairs and how you deal with one another. And what are those two diseases? Al-hasad wal-baghdha. Jealousy and hatred. Now, it's interesting that he used jealousy and hatred because as we discuss them, we'll realize that they're actually really closely connected to one another. Jealousy and hatred. That's why tonight's class, I'm calling jealousy the hater's disease. It's nothing but a hater's disease. And we'll see what I mean by that. I mean the way we use haters too, but also in the real sense of the word hater. It comes from hatred inside a person. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَهِيَ الْحَالِقَةِ. That this disease will shave everything off. It will completely wipe away everything. And then he said, لَا أَقُولُ هِيَ تَحْلِقُ الشَّعْبِ. I'm not saying that it cuts hair, but rather it cuts away your religion. Like it takes away your religion completely. And we'll talk about specifically how that happens. Imam Ghazali talks about four levels of hasad. This is very important to understand. Four levels of jealousy. The lowest level is that you see somebody with a blessing. You see someone that looks attractive. You see someone with strength. You see someone that's good at soccer and doesn't sprain their ankle. Right? Joe, just messing around. You see somebody with a very smart person. A good job, wealthy, nice house, handsome husband, beautiful wife. You see someone with a ni'mah, and you would love to see the blessing lost, even if you don't get it. First level of hasad. First level. Like, you don't want this person to have it, but you don't care if you get it yourself. That's the first level of hasad. Number two, you love to see the blessing lost. You want that person to lose that blessing, but you want it for yourself. You want that husband. You want that wife. You want that job. You want that house. You want them to lose it, but you want it too. Third level. Someone has a blessing. You don't want the exact same blessing. They have a good job. They have a nice house. They have a beautiful wife, religious wife, handsome husband, on his deen. Right? You see that blessing. You don't want the same thing, but you want something similar to it. And that you don't want to see that person with it as well. So the fact that they have it too threatens you. Fourth level now. Fourth level. Someone has something nice. You want something similar to it. But you don't want them to lose it. You just want the same thing for yourself as well. This level, the fourth level, I'm going to go through them one more time. Let's go through them one more time. First level, you see a blessing that you love. You want that exact same thing. But you don't want it. You just don't want them to have it. First level. Number two, second level, is that you love to see the blessing lost. You want to see the person not have the blessing, but you want that exact same thing, the exact same one. You want that exact same wife. You want that exact same husband. You want that exact same job. Okay. Third level. You don't want the exact same blessing, but you want something similar. And if you can't have similar, then you don't want to see that person with it either. You don't want to see that person with it either. So it puts you in a rage to see that other person with it as well. Fourth level. You want something similar for yourself, but if you don't get it, you don't want it to leave that person as well. Someone has a beautiful job, beautiful wife, something amazing, and you're like, subhanAllah, mashallah, I want that same thing. And in your heart, you don't want them to lose it. But I want something similar just like that. This level is okay, but about this level, Allah says, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا, and don't desire what Allah has given some people over others. So even this level right here is like okay, because you don't want to see the person lose it. But in reality, this level too, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this level that stop desiring what other people have. And we'll get into more detail why that is like that. Now, what are the causes of this? This is the most important aspect of hasad that I want to talk about, because we can figure out through this what causes us to be haters of other people and why people hate on us. Where does it come from? The first sabab that Imam Ghazali talks about is bughd. It's pure hatred. That's why I said this is the hater sickness. That you grow in hatred to the point where a person becomes your enemy. Someone does something against you. Someone takes a different opinion from you. Someone does something which is against who you are, and now that threatens you. That challenges you. And what happens is, as a result of that, slowly this like dislike for this person starts to grow. Now, for some people, it'll reach the point where they begin to actually plot on the person. Where they begin to actually plan. How can I make this person feel bad? How can I make this person lose that blessing? Other people, it just sits there. And the lowest level is now you start to rejoice at what? What do you get happy at? Them losing. You start to rejoice at the pain. You start to rejoice at the pain that they go through. And what he said, this is amazing. He says, and then whenever they go through hardships, you start to feel as if, see, that's what happened for going against me. See, that's because you went against me on that thing. Now look what Allah is doing to that person. I told him he should have listened to me. I told her she should have listened to me. That's the reason why they're going through this right now. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran over and over again. وَإِذَا لَقُوكُمْ قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا أَضُّوا عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَنَامِنَ مِنَ الْغَيْبِ. When they're with you, they're all cool. They love you. Amen. Now we're with you. The moment you turn their back and they walk away and they're biting on their fingers out of anger. Like, oh, I hate that person. Oh, I wish they just didn't have that. I wish they could just lose that. And then Allah says, say to them, قُلْ مُوتُوا بِغَيْدِكُمْ. Just die with your hatred. Because in reality, what is your hatred going to do? Only thing you can do is swallow. Just die with the hatred you have inside your heart. It's not going to do anything. It can't go anywhere. Okay, so the first cause is hatred. Someone does something against you. Someone says something different from you. Sometimes it's just a different opinion. A coworker at work, you say an opinion to the boss, another person says another opinion. And you're like, why do you have to call me out in front of everyone like that? Okay, let's see if their plan works now. Right? And it just starts to build. Something as small as that. Like they just went against you on something small, and it begins to grow from that point. The second reason why hasad comes in, level or position. Many people fear having anyone above them. As Imam Ghazali says, يَثْقُلُ عَلَيْهِ أَن يَتَرَطَّعَ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٌ. It's hard for you to see anyone above you. Simple as that. It's hard for you to see anyone above you. And you can't take seeing someone honored, seeing someone blessed, seeing someone praised for anything. Number three, arrogance, takabbur. And Allah says about this, "Aha ula'i manna Allahu alayhim min baynina," that the Quraysh, when they used to see the Muslims at the time, the Quraysh used to say, "Aha ula'i alladhina," are these the people, "manna Allahu alayhim min baynina," these low people, like look at them in society. Look who they are. Look at their status. Like, aha'ula, are these the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their arrogance is creating that hatred and jealousy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing these people with Islam and blessing them with all types of different things. So, the main thing I would say about this one here, this arrogance will stop you from gaining benefit from anyone. Any useful thing, whether it be for religion or even worldly things, just because it's coming from that direction, you're going to cut it off. Because the arrogance is stopping you from receiving anything positive from that direction. The next thing, number four, Imam Ghazali says, similar to number three is vanity and conceit. You think so highly of yourself. You think so highly of who you are that to see anyone else blessed with a new car, blessed with a new job, blessed with a husband. I've been working so hard and this. I'm not, why does he like her? What is, look at me. Like, and look at her. What does she even have going for herself? Literally, this is what you hear people saying, right? Because they're so conceited and so vain about themselves, who they are. Here's another one, number five. This is very important. Imam Ghazali calls this fawtul maqasid, fear of losing something that you're working for. And I'm going to explain this one in a little detail. This is like peer jealousy. Peer jealousy. Anyone who works on the same platform as you will never like to see you rise unless they clean their heart from this disease. Anyone who does the same type of work as you, and all of you do work in different fields, right? Now, the people who you can really test is someone who's on that same platform as you. Will they share your stuff? Or is he like, no, man, why is he getting so many likes? Seriously, that same peer, that same group, because they're competing with you, right? So he talks about peer jealousy, siblings. Siblings' jealousy is crazy. Why? Because they're all trying to get the love of who? Those parents, right? And like, why does dad love you more? Why does mom always love you? And the other one's like, yo, she don't love me more. She loves you more. And like, what are you talking about? She always loved you more. SubhanAllah, where do we see that same example? Yusuf alayhi salam. Uqtulu Yusuf. Awtaruhu wa ardan yakhlu lakum wajhu abikum. Now get rid of Yusuf, man. Why? Because he's stopping our progress. He's stopping us from getting what we want. And that's that. So this is what you have to be very careful about. In whatever field you work in, whatever line you work in, or anyone who seeks the same thing you seek, students of the same teacher. Many times students of the same teacher go through the exact same thing. Why is the teacher always giving you attention? Right? And they start to hate on each other. Right? Yo, the teacher gave us, he said the exam was here. Yo, don't tell her. She'll study the whole thing. She won't know where the questions are coming from. Like, why are you hating on me? We're all trying to pass here. So anyone competing for the same thing. That's why Imam Ghazali speaks a lot about scholars. Because scholars get this disease so deep. But in reality, anyone who's competing on any level together. Whatever your platform is that you're working on. But he speaks specifically about scholars striving for popularity in students. Striving to get people to follow them. Striving to get people to come to their classes. Striving to get people to follow them. They say, oh yeah, don't go to him. He's not legit. Oh, don't go to him. He's not legit. Oh, don't go to that person. They're not legit. And then you get organizational jealousy. Oh, don't study with those people. They're not legit. Oh, don't study with them. So Imam Ghazali spends a large portion talking about how whatever platform you're working in, recognize that this is the most important place to watch out for jealousy. Or any people who are seeking the same thing as you, meaning Yusuf and his brothers. All of them are seeking what? The pleasure of the father. Now the difficulty is for you, a brother or a sister, to do things that will promote and push forward your brother or sister. Because in a way it's kind of pushing you away, it feels like. But we'll talk about the fallacy of that in a moment. Here's the hardship. Look, one person, one father, one mother. We want the attention. Now, if I pushed my sister forward in the sight of my dad or my mother, is it pushing me away? Well, that's what the nafs is telling us, and that's why we compete. Like, no. And especially at a young age, it happens a lot, but it happens way throughout life. Same way with the students, same way with the scholars, whatever it is, to realize that, wait, by pushing someone forward, am I really pushing myself back? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. And that's what we're going to talk about in more detail. Number six is kind of connected with number five, but it's a desire for worldly recognition. So the person that has this desire just to be recognized and loved by people, then any other person, subhanAllah, this is crazy. Even if it's not in their own line, if they see people getting attention, that hurts them. Why is everyone liking that person? Why is everyone paying attention to them? So just the fact that people are getting recognition, or no, other way around actually, just the desire to be recognized, you have to really protect yourself from hasad. Just the desire to be recognized, you have to make sure that if I see anyone else, at the end of the day, guys, the opposite of hasad is adinu nasiha. Now look, nasiha is the exact opposite. Nasiha is to do whatever it takes to push your brother or sister forward, to see them improve, to see their situation better, to see good for them. But the moment hasad comes in, you want nothing but that person to fall backwards and stay behind you. And that's why this disease is so dangerous. It's the exact opposite of what we should have, ad-din al-nasiha. And nasiha means to wish for good for other people. And to be honest, this is something that our society is filled with, partially I feel like, because we see so many other people's blessings left and right. We see other people's popularity. We see their lives on social media. We see other people's, all the attention they get. And we're like, why them? Why not me? But here's the deal. Here's the deal. What blessings do you have that they don't have? What blessings do you... And here's the second thing. Do you really know the reality of that thing you're jealous of? You're jealous because she's so beautiful. Do you know what's going on to her because of that beauty? You're jealous of him because of his beautiful wife. Do you know what he's going through at home? The very thing you may be jealous of may be the very thing that he's making dua that is the source of his punishment. And you don't even know the reality of that thing. And the most idiotic part of this is the fact that Allah says, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Like there's always going to be someone better than you in everything. Think about this. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. What does that verse mean? Above every knowledgeable person is someone more knowledgeable. Above every beautiful person is someone more beautiful. Above every strong person, there's someone more stronger. Above every eloquent speaker, there's someone more eloquent as a speaker. Above every beautiful person, if I didn't say it, it's someone more beautiful. Whatever blessing there is, realize that you can't have it all. Now the amazing thing is this. This is the craziest part. You may have beauty and see someone with money and say, why did Allah give them that blessing? Wait, but hold on. So, hold on, let's pause here. You want every blessing? To the max. You're already handsome. You're already attractive. You already got wealth. You want to be strong too and no one stronger than you? And feel threatened by their strength? So why is it that you desire to have absolutely every blessing? That's the question we have to ask. And do you actually really know the reality? Number seven now. Number seven. Imam Ghazali says, the seventh cause of jealousy, to be real, is just a dirty heart. Just a dirty soul. And he says, like, this is the person that hates to see good with anybody. Anybody. They're just pure haters. Pure haters. And back in the day, we used to rag on these dudes. Like, these are the dudes you're like, yo, why are you always hating on somebody? Like, you can't see somebody happy for a moment without, yeah, but, you know, he did this the other day. Like, really? Can't you just say something good? Like, subhanAllah, with something as simple as food, the Prophet ﷺ would never find fault in it. But here we are with people. The moment someone is praised in your presence, you're like, yeah, but you know, I saw this about her and yeah, just want to say. Why you gotta throw salt? Like, just let someone shine for a moment. Just let someone, you know what I'm saying, absorb that praise for a moment. And not feel threatened by that. And that's the main thing, this feeling of that we're feeling threatened, that we're going to actually lose something. So Imam Ghazali says, like, what is the solution to this now? This is where it's really fun. What is the actual solution to this? Imam Ghazali says, the solution for your being a hater, the solution for your jealousy is in two things. Number one is in knowledge. And number two, in action. Very simple. Very simple. Wallahi, he's very simple. From the perspective of knowledge, this is what he says. Listen closely. He says, you have to know for certainty, with certainty, that jealousy will harm you in this world and in your deen. Here's the deal. Jealousy is actually harming who? You in this dunya and harming you in the hereafter, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm going to break these down in a minute, inshallah. And then he says, you have to know that it doesn't at all harm the envied person. The person that you're hating on, the one you're jealous of, your jealousy does nothing to that person. One of the scholars, he said, like, the amazing thing about jealousy is like an arrow that you pull back at your enemy. In the moment you shoot it, what does it do? It hits you back. It doesn't hit them. The jealousy is nothing but a destruction of your own heart. And it doesn't hurt that person at all. It's absolutely amazing if you really think about it. And one of the tabi'een, he said, I never saw someone who's a zalim, but more mazloom than the jealous person. Can I explain that in a moment? A zalim is an oppressor, a mazloom is oppressed, right? He said, I never saw a person who's a zalim, but mazloom more than the jealous person. And the reason is this, listen to this. What is the source of your pain if you're jealous? The blessings of God upon this person. Every time Allah drops a little blessing on someone, like kryptonite, burns you up, hits you here. And Allah is blessing. Ni'mah after na'ad. وَعَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّدْ فَبِيَيَّ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Day and night Allah is blessing people. And your poor soul, your poor heart, every single blessing this person gets is burning your heart up. So the pain of the jealousy is coming back to the jealous person. And it's just eating the person up every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses this person with another thing. That's why he's zalim and madloom at the same time, poor person. Very interesting. Now, how is it harmful you and your deen? How is it harmful for you and your deen? This is the most dangerous part about jealousy. Forget that part you're suffering in the world. You're driving around with a sour face on, right? You're driving around with a screw face on for no reason all day. Like, yo, smile, man. What's wrong with you? Like, yo, what you mad for? Like, you see someone with a blessing? Mashallah, yo. Allahumma zid fa zid, right? Beautiful wife, beautiful husband. Mashallah, zid fa zid. Wali mithla, right? Me too. Make that dua, but make... be happy, right? But anyways, why is it so dangerous for your deen? Alright, we already got the dunya. You angry all day. Cool. What about your deen? إِنَّكَ بِالْحَسِدْ تَسْخُطْ قَضَاءَ اللَّهِ. In reality, you, O hasid, jealous person, you're angry at the qadha of Allah. You hate Allah's distribution of His rizq. You're angry with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's choice. SubhanAllah. Like, first of all, who are you? Second of all, what could be more destructive for your religion than to just be angry with who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to bless? But rather, what you should do is choose to be happy with who we chose to bless. And find pleasure in that. And then, SubhanAllah, every blessed person you see now is like, MashaAllah. MashaAllah, another person Allah has blessed. Another person Allah has blessed. Another person Allah has blessed. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. You think Allah is limited with His blessings. So because He got the fine wife, you can't get it. Because she got the fine husband who's on his deen, nice job, that takes away from you now. Ah. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah, think about that for a moment. If you realize Allah's rizq is infinite, and the way He blessed him, He could give you 10 times mithla. Would you care? Think about that for a moment. If this person's popularity, given to them by Allah, is infinite, given by someone infinite, does it threaten you that Allah has given them that much? It's only when you think this is a limited resource that you're like, yo, you're stepping on my territory now. Because there's this much attention the world can give a person, you just took a fifth of that, so you're cutting into my territory right now. There's only this many fine Muslimas, you're cutting into my territory right now. The point is, all jokes aside, when you realize that the same thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that person, He can give you 10 times that, you become happy. MashaAllah, Allah gave you, MashaAllah. How much more is there Allah can give? He's not limited. So that's what I'm saying. Once we get to that point, it's like, alhamdulillah, you didn't step on my territory. You didn't harm me in any way. I'm not threatened by your progress. Right? That's the point. I'm not threatened by your progress in life. But up till now, it's cutthroat. We're at everyone's throat. How can I get ahead? Your progress leaves me in the back. So it's cutthroat right now. I gotta keep everyone behind me by any means necessary. That's not what we need to do. Okay, so what do we say? Knowledge, right? Knowledge. Knowledge. What's the knowledge? The knowledge, number one, is that your jealousy is the disease that kills you. Your knowledge, the knowledge that you need to solve this disease, is realize that your jealousy does nothing to the person you're jealous of, but it destroys you from inside. SubhanAllah, think about this now. What was the first hadith the Prophet ﷺ said about this? He a haliq. Right? What does it do? Completely shaves off everything. Now you can see how it shaves off the deen. Just wipes it out because you're angry with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and the second part of it is that you're angry with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, there's a statement that Imam Ghazali shared of Zakariya alayhi salam, where Zakariya alayhi salam, he said, قَالَ اللَّهُ الْحَاسِدْ عَدُوٌ لِنِعْمَتِي. Al-hasid, the jealous person, adu, is the enemy of my blessing. He's angry with my order and not pleased with my division that I split up. Just think of it from that perspective, that the jealous person is the enemy of the blessing of God. And everywhere you see a blessing of Allah, that anger just comes up. Tahlikuddin. And I already explained already, how is it something that is destroying your dunya? Every time you see a blessing, تَتَعَدَّ بِكُلِّ نِعْمَةٍ تَرَاهَا. Every time the person's like, yo, you want to hear the great news? You're like, yeah, tell me the great news. Alright, exactly what wow, mashallah, that's so great. Wow. Man, all she does is talk about herself all the time. Like, really? Straight up. So you know the solution? I'm going to give you some practical solutions, yo. I'm going to just skip to the solutions, right? The action that you need to do is force yourself to do the opposite of what your jealousy is asking you to do about that person. So what do I mean by that? Your jealousy is going to tell you to be arrogant in front of that person. Do the opposite. I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Yeah, go ahead, no problem. Right? At first, you're going to be pretending. Let me be real. At first, you're going to be fronting big time. Because you realize you have jealousy for the person, and you realize in your heart, like, I need to solve this. Like, I need to get this out of my heart. And it's there, I realize it's real, and I want to get it out of my heart. So, when you first start doing this, it's going to be tekellif. You're going to be pretending. But watch what happens to you as you keep doing it. What do you do? Your arrogance is going to want, your hasad is going to make you want to be arrogant in front of them. In front of them. Humble yourself. In front of them. They say something, you're like, yeah, no problem. They skip you online, you're like, yeah, go ahead. Right? It's going to be hard. Right? But you're going to do it, right? Number two, your hasad is going to tell you that when they're being praised, to do what? Huh? Throw salt. Thank you. Throw salt. That's it. Throwing salt in Dallas. I'm from the East Coast. We throw salt in the winter all the time. It's a different type of salt down here, huh? Throw salt, right? What do you do then? What do you do? Tell me, guys. What do you do? Your hasid is saying throw salt. What do you do? You praise them. in front of people. Ooh, hurts. It hurts. It's killing a good thing, though. It hurts, but it's killing a good thing. The other thing, it's going to tell you to, you hear someone talking about them. Hasid is going to tell you to do what? Similar. Put them down. Praise them in front of people. Yeah, that guy's awesome, man. Great guy. Great sister. Awesome. Amazing. Like I said, please listen. In the beginning, there's a lot of forcing yourself. But realize that that's how you're curing that disease. That's how you're curing it. Then, the hardest one, dhuhur surur. Really? That's amazing! To show happiness when you hear blessings about them. The opposite is what the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَذْفُرْ شِمَاتَةَ لِأَخِيكَ. The opposite is the Prophet ﷺ said, never ever show happiness for your brother or sister being going through a difficulty. That's what the hasid does. The moment someone's going through difficulty, they're like, see, I told them. They should have listened to me. I told them. So what does he say do? At that point, show happiness. Mashallah, that's amazing. That's awesome. All I'm saying here, you have to figure it out. But what you're going to have to do with that person, here's something else my teacher taught me. This is the hardest one. Make dua for the person in the middle of the night. Make dua. And guess what? Don't make that general dua. Allah gim jannah. Nah. Nah. That ain't cutting it here. The very thing you're jealous of, make dua. Allah give him more. Allah make her more beautiful. I mean, for him. Like, y'all make you. Allah make him. Give him. Yeah, whatever. Give him more of whatever he has. Give him more. Allah. Give him a better job. Wallahi sabs, huh? So hard. So hard. But wallah, watch how clean your heart becomes. How will you feel if you can walk around and every ni'mah you see, you feel blessed just to see that ni'mah? What kind of heart will you have at that point? And think about the opposite. What heart will you have if every blessing you say, that should have been mine? Why did Allah give it to him? So it's hard, but think about the ramifications on your own soul and heart. So what do? We praise them in public. We make dua in the middle of the night for the exact same thing that I really wish they didn't have. Right? We humble ourselves in front of them. Why? I'm only doing this now because I don't like you and I'm trying to like you. Right? I don't like you, but I want to be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to get this hatred out of my heart because my hatred for you is killing me, not you. My hatred for you is killing me, not you. You're smiling at my hatred. And in fact, Imam Ghazali says one of the things you should also realize as if someone's jealous of you, just realize that every time you're blessed, it's killing them. If you're the victim of jealousy now, just sit back, smile. Come to the house like, how you doing, sister? What's going on? You good? I'm good. I'm okay. How are you? So if you're the victim of jealousy, realize there's no harm on you. You're getting good deeds for that. They're backbiting you. They're trying to put you down. Alhamdulillah. And on top of all of that, they're burning up inside. They're burning up inside. So hasid is a dangerous disease. Now, one more thing I want to talk about. One of the causes of it was vanity, arrogance. What were some of the other causes, guys? Vanity, arrogance, and people becoming being put over you, and desire for worldly recognition. Honestly, guys, to be honest, each one of those is kind of another disease of the heart. So to be real with you, sometimes you may have to get help on that other issue. You get what I'm saying by that? For example, your desire for worldly recognition. All you want is just to be known. That's it. Like, that's your maqsood. You're not using it as a tool for influence. You just want that. You understand what I'm saying? Recognition is a good thing if you use it for something positive. But if you just want recognition, that's bad. Because you just want it for itself. Everyone with me on that? You use it for a positive thing. So if that is a problem you're having, you need to solve that first, because that's the source of your hasid. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's, I'm saying we haven't really solved it for everyone, but I'm still giving you solutions how to actually rid yourself of that jealousy that you're a victim of and that you're receiving. And for me, the strongest thing is this. Like, I can't let someone else destroy my heart. You are not that important to me. Like, I need a clean heart. And no one in this world is that important to me that I need to fixate my whole day on how to bring you down. Like, I have way higher goals than that in life. And you're not part of those goals. So why am I giving you that much importance that I'm allowing you to make me so upset with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings? Yeah, go ahead.
So you said hasad.
Go ahead.
You said jealousy and like hatred won't affect the other person. Then why do we ask Allah for protection from it?
Because the jealous person can take their, as I said in the beginning, that when the hatred is strong enough, sometimes the person will actually take it to the point where they start trying to plot out. Right? And that's where the person is now doing sahar magic, this, that, trying to like flatten your tire, scratch your car, stupid stuff. You know what I'm saying? Trolling you on whatever. Like, those are, they actually try to do things. So they can try to harm you, no doubt. No doubt. And even the Prophet ﷺ, like the Yahud that had that immense jealousy for him, did whatever they could, magic, this, that, whatever, to try to affect him.
But someone's feelings, I want that coffee mug so bad.
No, there's nothing you could do. So there is a hadith that كاد الحسد أن يغلب القدر. There's a hadith. كاد الحسد, كاد means there's something close to. So hasid can almost take over qadr. Now what that hadith means is that a person's hasid is wants to overcome qadr. It hates the taqdeer. It hates that Allah wrote that this is for you. It hates that. But as far as actually affecting me, that there's nothing that person can do. But here's the deal though. What's the hadith I began with about how to fulfill what you want to get done? What's the hadith? I'm going to say it again because it's a very important hadith. Ista'inu ala hawa'ijikum bil kitman. The Prophet ﷺ said, seek help in fulfilling your hawa'ij, what you want to get done, through secrecy and quiet. Like, don't tell everyone everything that you're about to do. Why? The Prophet said, because kullu dhi ni'matin mahsud. Every blessing, there's hasad for it. So you have something you want to do? Like, don't sit there and post it before you start doing it. Do it afterward. Like, yeah, mashallah, you know, I just did that. Like, oh, okay, cool. You know, some of your mothers must be really tripped, like, on ayin, right? Another ayin. And they'll tell you, stop posting on Facebook, right? Because you're going to get ayin. You know what I'm talking about, no? Yes. Like, yes, right? So you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Like, al-aynu haq. Right? Al-aynu haq. So you can protect yourself. What I would say, though, listen. The Prophet ﷺ, Surah Al-Falaq, was revealed as a protection from hasad. So, kul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, three times in the morning, three times in the evening, was revealed as a protection from these things. From magic, from sorcery, from jealousy, and all these things. So, I mean, at least take the precautions that Allah has sent down to protect you from these things. Yeah.
I was just going to say that one of my friends had shared with me, she was watching like a TED Talk, and it was about like setting goals and like, you know, 28, like whenever the new year comes, people set goals and stuff.
Yeah.
She was talking about how when people like announce what they're planning on doing, they're less likely to actually do it.
When they do what? Announce it.
Announce it.
Oh, that's subhanAllah. That's amazing.
And so she was saying that, like, it's one thing to announce all your goals for this year, and it's another to announce them, like, maybe after the fact.
Yeah.
So once you've accomplished
that. That's so prophetic. That literally goes identical. And subhanAllah, you guys know, tell yourself, how many things you tell someone, and then the next thing you know, you're not even doing it. You're like, and they're like, hey, what happened? You're like, oh, yeah, you know, they're like, yeah, I know you, don't worry. Yeah, I know you. That's normal. So the Prophet, that's so prophetic. What TED Talk was that, by the way?
I have
Okay, that would be awesome to hear. That goes perfect with the hadith, by the way. Literally, that goes perfect with the hadith. That you want to get something done, stay quiet about it. Don't tell anyone. Go after it. Allah will put barakah in that thing and go after it. And inshallah, Allah gives it to you. Afterward, bismillah, yeah, it's fine. Any other questions? Hasad is a really, really serious issue, and I was hoping to kind of unpack it today. The one thing I wanted to talk about really quick last before we end was I talked about these three levels of hasad, okay? Just to make this more clear, if someone has something, right? And you like that thing, that's okay. The hasad part is where you want them to lose it. That's the key. I want that same thing. Alhamdulillah, that's fine. Right? Yes.
So,
not the exact same thing, because like, yeah, okay.
No, but like, one of the things where you're saying to cure like jealousy.
Yes.
Of someone, someone's praising that person, instead of, you know, trying to throw shade at them, you're just like, oh yeah, mashallah. Like,
yes. Right.
Now, do you mean that in the context of that person's not there, and just a group of people are talking about him?
No, I think both.
Because there's the hadith where the Prophet had them say, like, woe to you.
Okay, that's different. Let me explain that hadith. Okay. Victor's talking about the hadith that don't praise someone in their face. That hadith is about someone who you fear will start to get a big head. If you praise them in front of them, you should not praise them in front of their face. I'll say it a different way too. If anyone plays any sports here, your coach will never praise you in your face. Your coach, your basketball coach, volleyball coach, no matter how good you are, they're going to keep telling you, no, you can get better. No, you're not good enough. No, you're not. Why? Because by telling you made it stops progress. Telling you made it does what? It stops your progress. So the people that love you, they're like, no, you could do better. No, you could go further. No, you didn't do good enough. Right? Now, sometimes people push that too far, and we need a little praise. I know, right? But the point I'm trying to say is that hadith is just when you fear that a person is going to get big-headed because of your praise. But if you know that this person is not going to take it to their head, it's okay to praise the person in front of them. But I would still say be very careful. Because, I mean, if you hear something enough, it affects you. If you hear something enough, you start to believe that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, for hasad though, I need to do everything that hurts my heart regarding this person, if you get what I mean by that. It hurts me to see them praised, so I have to praise them. You get what I'm saying? Until I get to that point where I have no more hasad, alright, I'm back to normal now with this person. But for now, at this level, where like it hurts me to see you with her every time, and it hurts me to see you with that car every time, right now I gotta, yeah, he's awesome, yo. In front of you, yo, you the man, yo. You're awesome, bro. And you know what, subhanAllah, that person, we know the people that are jealous. In the beginning, that person is like, yo, what's going on? Imam Ghazali said, but that's where the love begins, though. Once they see that, then they start to put the guard down around you. And actually, love starts to form between you two. And those very people who you think you don't click with, if you spent time over coffee, tea, and just bonded with them, yo, watch the love that's created. Allah wanted me to see that lesson. But that to me is about emotionally investing in people. So when we talk about people we're jealous of and this and that, many times if you just get to know that person, I bet you that very same ni'mah that you think is so fly, you can be like, ooh, alhamdulillah, I don't have that husband. Right? Alhamdulillah, I don't have that job. Right? Once you get to know the person on a deeper level, you start to grow that deeper affinity for that person, and you start to see them more as a person and as someone like you. Someone like you. So that's a bit of a tangent, but that was a deep lesson for me on how to connect to people on deeper levels. Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu a'lam. For me, brothers and sisters, this was extremely beneficial because, you know, you got to watch your heart. You got to watch your heart. The thing that will get you into Jannah is a clean heart. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The only one that gets back to Allah is the one with a clean heart. And if you're walking around with hatred and hasad in your heart, nah, that's haram, man. Haram like pork, man. No, for real. Like, hasad is haram. Same way khamr is haram. Same way alcohol is haram. Same way zina is haram. hasad is haram. And you know, I can't tell. You know if you got hasad. You know the feeling you feel when you see that person with that blessing. And if you peep that feeling in your heart, just do what we said here. Just do the opposite of it. And realize that what you're really hating is God's blessing on people. And how dare you hate God's blessing on people? Who are you? Any other questions? Come on, I'm sure. Yes?
What if to start with you don't have jealousy towards a person, but that person is rubbing it on you, and you start developing jealousy?
Oh, so the person is like, yeah, that's, yeah, so he, subhanAllah. So you're saying the person is rubbing something in your face?
Yeah, and you're not, to begin with, you're not jealous of that person.
Yeah.
But because he's rubbing it on you so much, you start to feel like,
subhanAllah.
But he loses that.
So this is different. Like, now you're like, you said, what if he loses that? What you actually meant is, I hope he loses that. Correct?
Kind of like
that. Yeah. But we gotta be for real. We gotta be clear. Like, when you said, what if he loses that, that means, you keep rubbing that in my face, I hope you lose it now. Wallahu alam. To be honest, like, wa amma bi ni'mati rabbika fa haddith. Speak about the blessings of your Lord. But at the same time, we know when people are just trying to like, all right, dude, I got it. I get the point. MashaAllah, 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 MashaAllah. I don't know, that's a hard one. Anyone want to help out on that one? Anyone want to help on that? Wallahu alam, brother. That's a hard one. I think our goal, let's talk about ourselves. In that situation, my goal is to still have a clean heart. For me, I don't care about him. When I say I don't care, please, I'm not being insensitive. I'm trying to put it in relatively speaking. I want my heart to be clean. You hear what I'm saying? So even in that situation, although I may spend less time with that person, why would I spend time with a person who just, you know, loves to speak about everything he has? Like, who likes that type of person? Who wants to be around a person that every time you're with them, they're just talking about themselves? And that's one of our biggest problems, subhanAllah. Me and my wife are talking about this, and it's like, you ever sat with a person and every time you speak to them, all they do is talk about themselves? Oh my, like seriously, it's like, are you the only one in this world? And do you only call me so you can have someone listen to you about yourself? Now here's it, forget that person, what about you? Do you do that? That's what it is. Forget other people right now, guys. They're not here. My thing is me. When I call someone, am I like, yo, Subhi, how are you doing? And the moment he's like, I'm good, I'm like, well, for me, this is what's going on. Right? Or am I like, no, tell me more. What else is going on, Sophie? Tell me more. What else? Like, really? Like, explain that to me. Right? Like, I want to hear it. So for me, that's something I'm working on where it's not about me anymore. It's about other people. For that brother right there, if it's not a family member, I would not spend time with someone who keeps rubbing stuff in my face. That's just not healthy for me. You know what I'm saying? I just wouldn't spend as much time. I would avoid unnecessary time with them. Because why, like, what am I getting out of their company? You know what I'm saying? Wallahu alam. Allah make it easy. But don't get to the point where you wish that they lose it. Never ever let yourself get to that point. Yes?
Is it a healthy response that, like, me personally, not necessarily someone that I'm exposed to, like, constantly, but if it's at work or just a social gathering that I might not see that person often, if my response to them having those qualities of, like, arrogance, vanity, conceit, or just...
Wait, they have it or you?
They have it.
Oh, okay.
Or if it's a quality that they're showing.
Yes.
To a crowd, or if it's something, like, at work where it might be, like, clashing with something that I need to bring forth, is it a healthy response within myself to be like, okay, I'm going to leave it for God with him? Like God's going to... Is that...
So I see what you're saying. It's similar to this guy's situation, kind of.
Right, because I'm not wishing anything, but it's most like, it's more like mentally, I'm just kind of turning away like, dude, I'm just going to leave it for...
I think turning away is good, but I'm trying to figure out what's really happening in the heart at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, are we wishing for that person to actually have more? Or are we actually wishing for that person... Are we wishing for them to be fixed? Oh Allah, make them better.
So go through that.
Like, oh Allah, make them better. Mm-hmm. Like, wallahu alam. I think I do have a solution for this. If the person had a sickness, mm-hmm. a physical sickness, what would you do for that person? You would make dua for them. Right. You'd excuse their inappropriate behavior occasionally, because you like you make excuse. You're like, they're not well. And you make dua for that sickness. In order to keep our hearts clean, a person that I'm dealing with on that with that type of akhlaq, I need to be making dua for that person and excusing them because this guy's, he's not right. He has issues with his heart. You get what I'm saying? I'm not talking physical illnesses. I'm talking spiritual, emotional illnesses now. This person is full of themselves. And everyone knows it. This is not my opinion. This is majmu'. There's ijma' of the ummah. Consensus of the ummah that this person is vain as anyone. So what am I doing for this person? Oh, may Allah show you your vanity. No. Ya Allah, fix this person. Again, why are we doing it? Stop thinking about that person. That person, your job is to get back to Allah. Just remember that point. Your job is to get back to Allah, clean heart.
I think my tone that I'm thinking it might be if it's resentful, because like my tone, like I will make a dua in the minute, like, oh, inshallah, Allah, you know, God opens his eyes. I just hope God opens his eyes, opens his heart. And I leave it at that. But I don't know if maybe it's my tone that I'm thinking, am I really hoping it though?
Yeah, that's
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that's where you're...
That's the hard part. And actually now this becomes a lot more difficult because we're not dealing with people that all the time who are just perfect people and we're just hating all these perfect individuals. We actually see flaws in these people and those flaws are the flaws which are amplified in our eyes and the reason why we justify our hatred for them. You get what I'm saying? Like, you yourself are not flawless. Everyone does have flaws. But even for those people, we should never la tudhir shamatata li akhika. Never ever show happiness that we've seen hardship afflict a brother or sister. Like, that's where we never want to reach. Never want to reach. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you saw the punishment of Jahannam and knew it, you would never wish that for your worst enemy. For your worst enemy. For the worst human being on earth, you would never wish that for them. So what I'm saying is, like, even for that person, we should never wish that they lose their blessings and wish harm for them. I think that's the struggle right there. Those imperfect people who we deal with, who have attitude problems, to wish khair for them is the real struggle. This is an excellent question. So yours and his, excellent question, because this is the real test. Those people who have arrogance, who are vain, who are rude, to wish good for them is the real awliya of Allah type character. Yeah, what's up?
For me, like, what helped me start to feel, be more compassionate for them is that, like, because there's some people that I've met, and it's like, said that everybody knows that they're this way, but a lot of times that person doesn't know that.
SubhanAllah.
Like, they don't even know that what they're saying is arrogant.
Yes.
Because they live their entire life with no one pointing it out.
Yeah.
Or if the way they speak is just a result of how they were raised in the
SubhanAllah.
House. SubhanAllah. And so it's just like, you kind of have to view them as a victim, like, hala, maybe they don't know.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Just how they were born.
Yes,
so
yes.
I always have this struggle of wanting to, like, yo, you're kind of being like this, versus being like, itokanala, like, inshallah, hello.
You know, that's a good point. Your brother brings an excellent point. Like, seriously, there are so many people that are really like, hey, was I really like that? Like, was that really... Some of us are really aware of how people perceive us. Some of us have that ability to know how everyone is perceiving me right now. Other people do not see how they are seen by people. Do you get what I'm... Like, that social awareness. Not everyone's at the same level, and I think you're right. Like, we have to take the benefit of the doubt and say, like, hey, perhaps the guy doesn't even know that this is what they're going through. MashaAllah, man. Khair, yes? Okay, so the best way to certain some of these traits like arrogance, vanity, whatever, the best way to find out if you have them are people close to you who wish well for you, friends and people close to you that have the same goals and objectives spiritually as you. So like what I would do is I have a group of friends that I would say like, yo, hey, I want to do this and this happened and I said this. What do you think? Was that arrogance from me? Now this person knows me inside out. no sheikh this, no sheikh that. He's like, yo, I know you. You're nothing. Right? And he'll tell me straight up. He's like, yo, that's arrogance right there. Like, straight up. What's wrong with you? Now, I value that person's opinion. So you need people around you that are keeping you in check and tell you about your own spiritual state without a doubt. Yes. But with this specific disease, I think all of us can peep jealousy in our own hearts. I don't think I really need someone else to tell me. If I'm honest with myself, if I'm really honest with myself, I can tell the jealousy that I have in my heart and start to work at that. The other diseases, those are for other halakhas we got to talk about. Vanity, arrogance. We did riyah already. We did a few others. We did quite a few, actually. But those diseases, they're all dealt with specifically. Today, we're just talking about hasad. And to me, hasad is something you pick up on your own. You can feel it in your heart. Khair. All right, inshallah.
Okay, I have a quick question. So, like, in today's, like with you brought up social media too.
Yeah.
But you can now, you're just, like, exposed to, like, everyone's blessings,
yeah,
etc. So, like, what's the balance? Because no one's gonna, like, you know how you can, like, subconsciously be starting to, like, dislike people? So then you'll see them in person and you're like, you know?
Yeah,
so,
without
like,
doubt.
But the thing is, personally, I don't believe in just cutting people off.
Yeah.
So, like, what is the balance? And also, too, I don't want to, like, delete all interactions with people online and offline, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard, because sometimes I do find myself subconsciously, like, oh.
So if that's the case, this is what I'm trying to do with myself, is all those people I'm seeing on social media that I envy their whatever it could be, I'm making dua for them. MashaAllah, may Allah increase them. MashaAllah. But there's a lot of mashaAllahs because everyone's sharing good stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody's sharing, like, I got an accident. Like, oh, dang. Glad I'm not you. Everyone's sharing the newest stuff, the greatest stuff, the nicest stuff. So all I'm seeing is all these blessings, and I'm like, I don't got that one. I don't have that one. Looks like he has fun with his wife today. They're out eating. I'm here at home doing nothing. No, seriously. Like, they're playing in the snow, throwing snowballs. And you're like, and you got to sit there and be like, MashaAllah. Like, wallahu alam, Yasmin, honestly, like, social media stuff, I had to download Facebook today to go live. Because I can't sit there. It kills me. Like, I start to not value my blessings.
Yeah.
Right? So it's hard for me to actually just scroll, because it's just like blessing after blessing. And mashallah, that's great. But like, you start to, after a while, not value your own. Not to mention, not enjoy the people you're actually with. So I'm not, again, going that whole technophobe back out thing. I'm just saying, for me, it's hard to keep seeing, you know, like,
yeah,
them playing in the snow, and I'm sitting there, like, whatever. Anyways, may Allah give us tawfiq, man.
And
yeah, sure.
Okay, so you brought up, like,
oh, I have an announcement too.
Of, like, you know, being annoyed at somebody. I mean, is it okay to, like, not vibe with somebody?
Yeah, it's totally fine. No, I'm serious. I'm not just saying that because I don't vibe with people. I'm saying that because there were sahaba. No.
Yeah.
There are sahaba that didn't vibe with other sahaba. It's like, all right, cool. That's him. That's this is my, like, our temperaments just don't vibe. Now, do we make dua for each other? Do we help each other? Do we, you know, look for other people's needs? This, that, whatever. But just to be chilling, having chai and coffee and hanging out, no, that's not my, we don't match. That's totally fine.
Sahaba would even argue amongst each other.
Yeah, and there's sahaba that didn't necessarily, you know, have an